on the line, Father Pat Driscoll, pastor of St. Dominic Parish. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Morning, Todd. Morning, Alan.
Good morning.
St. Lawrence of Brindisi, priest and doctor of the church, famous Capuchin.
Not the guy on the turn me over, I'm done, saint.
No.
Okay.
No.
That was Lawrence the Martyr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Much earlier.
All right.
Like 1,200 years earlier.
What's that, Father?
Yeah, do you ever think Lawrence and Brindisi kind of gets bummed because he gets overshadowed by, you know, Lawrence the Deacon?
No.
Maybe I should have been at the stake.
But I am glad that you asked that question. No, hang on. This is important.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to make it serious.
I am so glad, though, that you asked that question because we're incorporating our human broken elements to those who are in heaven. There's no jealousy in heaven. There's no like, hey, how come everyone's always praying to the Blessed Mother? How come no one ever asked for my intercession?
Listen.
No one in heaven is saying that.
St. Jude, find my keys.
Yeah, so I'll give you a good analogy on that, which I really like, is the idea of fullness, right? So I might be the thimble in heaven, and you might be the swimming pool. But both of us are full, so there's no room for jealousy because you're full. You're full.
Well, you know?
So we acknowledge the reality. We acknowledge the reality. Like some have a greater part to play in salvation history, whatever else. But you're full.
Yeah.
The last
line of the Litany of Humility is the one that always just makes me giggle, because it's, you know, may everyone be holier than me as long as I become as holy as I should.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wait, what? Because especially as Americans, everything's a competition.
Yeah.
You know, like my oldest son sent over the Wordle response this morning, and we're all like, challenge accepted. You know, like we all want to beat him at Wordle. And it's like, wait a minute, we're just playing a nice little game.
It's all competition.
The word starts, but everything becomes a competition. Whereas in heaven, in the kingdom, that's not the way it really is, right, Father?
Mm-hmm. Right. But you're right. You're right. Yeah. I mean, you want to be ambitious, but you want to be ambitious for good things, right?
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, anybody at that point, anybody saw the interview with Bishop Barron and the vice president. I mean, he said that was really one of the things that him coming to the Catholic faith helped him with, because he said, I was always ambitious for worldly things. And he said, and it's, you know, he's very Augustinian, and it was a very Augustinian approach that passion is good, but it needs to be directed properly. Right. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that we're somehow some downtrodden ogres all the time. That's not what Christianity is, but it means that it's directed and put in the right direction. You know, aspire for the things that matter, but aspire. Right?
Amen. So, amen. Yeah. Can you lead us in prayer this morning, Father?
Sure. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we continue in our day, we do ask you to help us to always be open to the things that you desire for us, to aspire to that holiness, to serve you and serve you alone, and serve others through you. We ask that we always recognize that it is in you that our heart finds rest, that our heart finds fulfillment, and that we always take our humanity seriously in pursuing that growth of holiness with you, life with you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoy fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddle boards, parasailing adventures, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757.
And here are your news headlines for Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. American artificial intelligence executives are sounding the alarm on the rise of cheap AI, particularly powerful new models produced in China, suggesting they will lead to a dystopian AI future and present unacceptable security risks without regulation. An open weight model dominant world is full AI communism, which is precisely what China proposes, say the American executives. Whereas the state in that aspect will be kind of a digital public infrastructure. American AI executives have warned that open models present huge risks since developers and policymakers lack control on how they're modified, and the debate will continue as they try to map out how AI is going to work for us down the road. Bishop John Barris of the Diocese of Rockville Center, New York, and four communities of religious sisters have filed a lawsuit against the New York Attorney General and Commissioner of Health over a law they said will force them to participate in physician-assisted suicide. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill legalizing it in February, and the law goes into effect in August. Although some facilities can opt out of parts of it, the exemptions are limited and the law imposes additional requirements on the diocese and religious communities. More than a dozen states have legalized physician-assisted suicide, but New York's opt-out policy is most among the narrowest in the nation. So we'll see how this suit progresses. There's good news for coffee drinkers. Todd. Up to 5 cups of the brew a day are safe for most adults and may even have heart health benefits, according to a new scientific statement by the American Heart Association.
Any statement on tea? No?
No, this was it's about caffeine in general. Okay. So you can apply that to the amount in your tea. So downing between 3 to 5 8-ounce cups will lower your risk of heart disease, they're saying.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, don't worry, in a decade they'll switch it again. In weather, just one more thing, even though the music ended, Tropical Storm Bertha is out there. It's located 100 miles southwest of Panama City. Moving this way, I think we're going to get some scattered wind and rain. I don't think the big effects, but that's my amateur view.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Father, welcome back in.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
Good. So I think we're going to propose, and this might be a couple weeks because I can't imagine we're going to do it in this time we have allotted today, learning the Mass. And I think for a lot of people that sit and been raised, especially cradle Catholics, it's something you do. It's the hour you go to. But I really found as I became an adult and more engaged in my faith that the beauty of the Mass really started to weigh upon me and just kind of, I kind of found so much joy in going to Mass as I got older as opposed to the drudgery as I was a child. So maybe this segment, Learning the Mass, is going to inspire some people to see the beauty in it rather than just an obligation.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. So yeah, that's important. That's a great intro. And I think, you know, like anything in life, if you understand it more, it's going to be more fulfilling. So how do we approach this? You begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. What is it that we do when we go to Mass? Why is the church so insistent that we go to Mass? Maybe we can start out that way. It's mm-hmm. one of the precepts of the church, right? And let's put it this way. Paradoxically, the church doesn't ask a lot of us, and yet she demands our very soul, right? Mm-hmm. And not to talk in riddles, but when I say she doesn't demand very much of us, in the particular, they're the precepts of the church. So if you're talking about during your typical week, there's not a lot she asks of you. She asks you to go to Mass on Sunday, on a typical week, mm-hmm. As far as something particular in your schedule. Yes, we contribute to the temple needs of the church and the temple needs of the poor. And that's true, but I'm talking about in your schedule, having to pencil it in, right? It is going to Mass. That's the one thing each week on a regular basis that she asks. So you think, okay, well, that's the one thing she's going to ask. It kind of begs the question, well, like, why is this so important? Is it just like she needed to do something to help us to honor the Lord's Day? Like, well, let's figure out something that's going to help them carry out Third Commandment. We'll go to Mass on Sunday. That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although we will say that's carrying out the Third Commandment. That's it, you know, and we can't limit it to that. We're not going to reduce carrying the Third Commandment to going to Mass, but certainly part of it. But to say, what is it? And I would start out by saying this, and we can get into the particulars, right? Liturgy of the Word, Liturgy of the Eucharist, but is to offer our life and sacrifice. And I sound like a beating drum, but I think this is what I would say. I'm not saying that the church officially says this is not coming from the dicastery for divine worship and mm-hmm. discipline of the sacraments, but offering our life and sacrifice is so fundamental to what we do as Catholics. I think that our church says it's just so fundamental that you have to plug into this sacrifice of Christ at least once a week. It's just so fundamental to who we are and what we're about. Mm-hmm. And we can say it's good for our memory, to ground us, to remind us of that, but it's also to participate in that. You know, so Jesus, was he a good moral example? Yes, but more than that, he he infuses divine life in our soul. So yes, he's a good moral witness and the exemplar of all humanity, but he also ushers in the life of grace. Mass reminds us who we are and what we're about, but it is also an encounter with God's grace. So both of those things are going on. So as a fundamental start to this, I think that needs to be established. Like that's what I'm doing. You know, we receive the Eucharist and the Eucharist is so tied to the Mass, and yes, but before that, like what do we say about this event? The Eucharist is one part of it, but it's not everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, and it's something that our Lord didn't invent out of whole cloth. And I think that's important too. You know, Pope Benedict in Deus Caritas Est, God is love. And, you know, he was a professor, and I love when he does this, just the provocation, provoking. He said there's nothing really new in the New Testament, right? A great provocation by the Great One. Because, yes, there's something new in the New Testament. And Jesus comes on the scene, and the Jews of the time, a lot of them missed it because they weren't expecting it, new and fresh, to be sure. But what the Pope gets at it there is, let's not jettison the Old Testament, because salvation history is important for us to understand, to get a full understanding of what Jesus does. And so when we talk about this sacrifice that our Lord does, he's just bringing the old sacrifices of old to fulfillment, right? That's what he's doing. So I think that's one of the dimensions of what the Pope says. There's nothing really new in the New Testament. Wink, wink. There's all kinds of things. But it's not incongruent with the old. The old certainly sets the stage. And so we want to look at that stage that it sets to appreciate even more. And part of that looking at the stage, you know, we're not used to sacrifice. I'm not knocking it. I mean, the modern man, like, I don't go out and sacrifice my own ghost, right? And we don't do that. Todd, as much as he's a rugged man, probably is not in this backyard sacrificing goats with Angel. I mean, I just don't know.
I sacrifice broccoli. That's about
yeah,
it.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if we were to go to the old temples, we would think that broccoli would be pale in comparison. But but the point is, like, that was so fundamental. Like, that was stark, right? It's the sacrifice is stark. I don't mean that like I've ever experienced that. I haven't. I just try to get in my head when you see the descriptions of sacred scripture and not blow over them and say, wow, this is a lot. This is a lot. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of cutting.
There's a lot of blood. Uh-huh. I mean, a lot of blood. When you start really thinking about it, you're like, whoa, that is trenches of blood.
What? Yeah, yeah. And we should think about that when the texts are presented to us, because it just helps you appreciate what Christ did. I'm not saying Christ blood on the cross and blood. No, but just the idea of sacrifice. Like, that should help us with the idea of sacrifice, because it's more of a challenge for us than the people living 2,000 years ago, because we don't see that stark reality all the time. Like, whoa, that animal's just sacrificed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a little bit easier to say, oh, okay, well then that's a sacrifice, and this is the way we worship a sacrifice, but that's still the way we worship a sacrifice. It's just a higher sense of it, right? It's just a higher sense of it. I mean, like the councils, all the ecumenical councils, they're always a higher standard and never a lower, right? Vatican II is a higher standard than Vatican I. Vatican I is a higher standard than Orange. Whatever the subject matter, the church is calling us to more. And so Christ is calling us to more. So we're like, well, we don't have the goat anymore, so it's not as stark. It's not as big of a deal. No, it's every bit as big of a deal. You still offer your life and sacrifice, but it's an internal thing. It's the actual sacrifice is there. We're participating in our Lord's sacrifice, but he wants us to see that as allowing for an internal change, which was there in the Old Testament. I mean, the Psalms write about it, but not as prominent as it is now. And so that's the higher part. And isn't it the higher thing? I mean, I say as difficult as it was to sacrifice all those animals, they still went there and watched it. And yeah, it was a full scene, but there wasn't the emphasis on the internal conversion that there is now. I'm not saying it was absent of it, but I'm just saying now it's more the emphasis of that. So we still have the perfected sacrifice along with the grace is communicated, which wasn't there in the Old Testament, but also the emphasis on conversion. And so our Lord's like, this is where I want it to be. This is where I want this sacrifice to be. This is where I want your thought, your approach to this sacrifice to be, that you're internally allowing yourself to be conformed, right? Each sacrifice of your life offered in love And so, you know, but we have to look at that old stuff to appreciate what he's calling us. So I think for the profundity of what he's calling us to, we got to remember and keep in mind that Old Testament, you know, and going forward. So I think when we think about go to Mass, just go to Mass. Okay, why am I going to Mass? Right? Like the anxious-ridden teenager saying, like, well, why am I going to Mass? So we should have some type of response to that. It doesn't have to be heavily theological one, but say, because you're offering your life and sacrifice, son, daughter. And that's what we do as human beings. That's what we do as human beings. You know, you may not like it, but that's how we're hardwired, is to offer our life and sacrifice. That's what gives you satisfaction. You may think the popcorn at the movie is going to give you satisfaction, and it does. Pales in comparison to what we're doing here. So I'll offer that as an opening salvo, which is more than an opening salvo on the math about that.
You know, Father, I might propose, just expanding on that, it seems to me that we as a people, and you're hearkening back to this, are longing to worship or to give sacrifice to a God. And a lot of people don't know how to do that in today's world. I would propose that starting with gently sitting in the Mass is you're going to learn how to worship our God. You're going to learn, you're going to absorb. I don't think that, especially people maybe that were not raised church-going, maybe they're searching or they're coming back into the church. This concept of worship is just not something our culture serves to them on a regular basis outside of faith communities.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
go ahead.
If you can sit in there and say, God, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I don't know how to do any of this. You can sit there and gently start to learn as he teaches us how to worship, how to know him, how to love him. And you can start there. You may not fully absorb it all in the beginning, but I think if you start with just, I want to worship you, that it will start to come with some regularity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Along those lines of what you say, let's remember, what is the language of God? The language of God is silence. Mm-hmm. So when you go in Mass and there are moments of silence, we remember that's the language of God. And I'm going to say something else too. I mean, I think, Todd, you can probably relate to this because you're a musician with the guitar and all that. Mm-hmm. If you ever turn on, I don't know, like I don't mean to make a black hat of anybody, but like, is it Hillsong? Is that Hillsong, that Protestant?
Yeah. The
channel?
Worship. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you always hear them, they're swaying. I say they're always often they're swaying and the music's playing. I think they're trying to worship God. And in some way they are. Mm-hmm. But the irony is when I'm at Mass in silence, that's what they're after. Maybe they don't know it, but that's what they're after. Like, they're reaching out. Oh God, we love you. We love you. Like you're reaching, you want to worship him, and you are, but I feel like you're always just crying out for more and more. When I'm sitting in silence at Mass, I don't have to gin up a feeling. Mm-hmm. That's what they're after. It's in silence and it's there at Mass and you're putting yourself before the Lord. But whenever I see something like that, that's what I hearken to. What you want is the Mass at this point, and you don't know it. You're just swaying. Your eyes are closed. You're saying, Lord, you know, you're reciting a psalm, or you're reciting the lyrics of the song or whatever. And it's very emotional. And I think, okay, that's what you're after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're after sitting in that pew and putting
yourself.
Well,
because they think if they're not feeling something, then it's not authentic. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Right. And you
can see it in the lyrics, because I sing a lot of these contemporary songs, mm-hmm. and oftentimes they're beautiful and they kind of make me chuckle because I'm like, you know, oh, come to the altar. It's like, well, where is it? where is it? I mean,
know.
It's a beautiful song,
yeah. uh-huh.
but it's like, where is the altar? And there was a friend of mine who asked me one time, he goes, Todd, obviously you're getting more out of the Mass than I am. And how do you do that? And I said, you have to come with the right attitude of, you come into that place in the presence of God, and then you say, you are God and I am not. And that's where you begin. That's where you begin. And I think that whole aspect of surrender, of understanding why we're there, you know, because I know it's a precept of the church, Father, but I say this often, I don't feel obligated to go to any Mass. Not Sundays, not holy days of obligation. I don't feel obligated because I know I'm not going to get struck down if I don't go. I feel invited. I feel invited. And if God is inviting me, what sort of fool would I be to not accept that invitation affirmatively, right, Father?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And just for those who are listening, Todd's grown in the spiritual life, so don't rely on that. Well, he said the only one going to get struck down. I'm not going to go. Sure. No, well, Todd is advanced enough to say, like, perfect versus imperfect contrition. I'm sorry because I sinned against the one who loved me so much versus I'm sinning. I'm scared because I'm scared of the pains of hell. One's more advanced than the other. So for those of you who, like, I'm getting out of math, all it goes to the obligation.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Let me add on to that. Father. I don't feel obligated, but I go every day.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Let me add that addendum.
Absolutely.
Oh, Father Driscoll, we'll pick this up next week. Can we get a blessing before you leave?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all who are listening. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Father.
Mm-hmm. You bet, Todd. Ellen,
thanks.
I'll talk to you next week.
You too.
Bye-bye.